Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted Small Business. We have a total powerhouse in the studio with us today, Stephanie Hayes. Stephanie is the founder of Assets to Exits, a pathway that helps small business owners think long term by shifting their focus from just making income to actually building real value in their businesses. Now, we all know how much the business world is focused on startups and early stage growth, but what about those that are more established and profitable, but maybe feeling a little stagnant or directionless? That's exactly where Stephanie comes in. She's helping entrepreneurs create a plan for their exit, showing them how to leverage the value they've already built and set themselves up for a financially rewarding future. And let's be honest, how many of us are really thinking about that big exit when we're just trying to get through the day-to-day grind? If you're even thinking about the future of your business or wondering what life after your business might look like, today's episode is going to be a game changer. Let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of Unscripted Small Business. I am one of your hosts, Abby Crane, and today I have a very special guest in the studio. Stephanie Hayes is an acquisition entrepreneur and a business consultant that really focuses on a part of business that a lot of entrepreneurs don't want to talk about, which is their exit strategy. So when I was reading through Stephanie's bio, I was just super impressed with just the plethora of experience that she has in entrepreneurship. She really is a woman that's just brilliant. Breaking through glass ceilings. So Stephanie, thank you so much for being in the studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So Stephanie, just to get started, I would love to hear more about your background and just kind of how you got your foot into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I was sort of born into it. I can't remember a time that I wasn't, you know, where it wasn't the case that I was going to just work for myself or own my own business. I kind of grew up in the tech sector, so professionally anyway, and so I was very immersed in small business startups, the startup world, the dot-com boom and bust and all of that. And so you get the chance to do a lot of different things when you work in small businesses and startups. And I would say like the dot-com era was like a huge lesson for me. There was so much experience that we gained, and you almost got to see everything happen at this really like exaggerated, very, very quick scale. And it was like intense learning. And yes, some of it felt very fabricated, but it was almost like you got into a business education on like a freight train. And so I think that was a very influential part of my life. But I always knew that I wanted to just work for myself. I wanted to build my own thing, and I just couldn't imagine not doing it. So I think, you know, I really didn't go out and start something really formally until my daughter was just about to be born. So a month before she was born, started up my first business with a partner, and we built like a $4 million consulting company in Wow. The technology sector. And then I just, you know, after doing that for a few years, I learned a lot about the business model that we had chosen and where it was sort of falling down. And I wanted to start up something that, that changed that. And we started up a software company. We saw an opportunity in the market and started up the software company. And that is still going today. That was about 14 years ago. And then just kind of went from there and started to really realize that I loved being an advisor. I loved helping people like look at their business from a holistic perspective. And I just had sort of a knack of seeing things at that level. So I kind of hung my own shingle and decided I was going to work independently with small businesses. And I was starting to really learn about like Lean Startup and, you know, Steve Blank's approach to all of that. And I got really involved in the startup world, and I was an entrepreneur mentor at the university, and, you know, just kind of done everything and tried everything. And I've never felt like it was scary to do that. And so I've been working with small business owners for the last sort of 10 years, 12 years, on my own. And I got really excited about the idea of buying and renovating and selling businesses about 5 years ago. And that felt like that felt like my future. Like that felt like a really great version of investment that I wanted to do. And I really had this desire to build something for myself. And when I was sitting around kind of thinking about all the service-based business owners that I work with, I think they all feel that and they don't know what their options are. So I got really invested in figuring out what the answer to that question was, and giving service-based business owners an option, you know, for the long term. So that kind of evolved over the last 5 years, and the work that I do now is really helping them envision what an exit strategy looks like for them. And it can be very different for different types of business. Like, there's a marketplace for every type of business. You can sell anything, but an exit doesn't necessarily mean have to mean selling. It could also mean I'm taking myself out of the business and I'm retaining ownership, but that's an operational exit. It could mean, you know, some version of that in between. It could mean that you just sell the assets inside your business. I bought a business 2 years ago and that's what I bought. I bought the assets of a business. So there's lots of different options and opportunities. You can sell a business for $500. You can sell a business for $500 million. So I want people to be really like conversant on the fact that there's lots of different paths that they can choose. And it breaks my heart to see all of these business owners just kind of walking away from their business because they feel like there's nowhere for them to go. But really, they've built all these assets that are worth something and they don't even realize it. So that's the sort of the path that I'm on right now, is trying to, you know, influence as many business owners as I can to actually build a growth strategy from the perspective of what they're going to do to exit. So that doesn't mean that they have to exit now. It means that, you know, in 5 or 10 years from now, what's that exit going to look like? What are you working towards? What does the valuation look like for a business, and where are the gaps? So we build a growth strategy from the perspective of valuation. And that means they're totally focused now on things that add value to the business as opposed to just the next source of their income.
That is so, so cool. And I love that, you know, you're talking about acquisition, because I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's not something that they think about, that they can just acquire a business that has already been started. They don't have to go through the laborious portion of the startup and finding the employees and all of those things. They can just kind of take it where it is now and add growth to it. What advice would you give to somebody that maybe they don't want to be a startup entrepreneur, but they want to just kind of go head over heels into acquiring businesses? What are some things that you look for when you're acquiring a business?
Well, like, in full transparency, I've only acquired one business, but I've been involved in acquisitions throughout my life, just working in the startup world and working in the technology sector. But I think, you know, a really big thing that you want to look for is fit for you as an individual, and where you're going to feel really comfortable, you know, leading a business. And, you know, if I bought a business, you know, selling washing machines, I'm not sure that I'd have a lot of heart into it. Like, I could definitely, as a business owner, I could definitely get behind a really great business model, but I think you first want to start with understanding like a fit for you and your skills and where you might be comfortable. It doesn't mean you have to know how to do, you know, the business itself, but certainly, you know, it's probably got to be something that you believe in terms of like a mission. And then you also want to look for, yeah, I bought a business that was sort of on the way out. And it's kind of like buying a house, right? You look for the worst house in the best neighborhood. So if you can find an industry that is experiencing some type of growth, or that is, you know, yet you feel pretty certain is stable or has a lot of potential, then finding a business that might be sort of struggling, like, you certainly need to understand the reasons for the struggle, but if you know that the environment that they're in is conducive to growth, then you can use your business skills and your acumen to shift that business. There's a lot of really great books that are written on the topic of acquisition entrepreneurship, and Walker Diable's book, Buy Then Build, is probably one of the best ones out there. But it's not a new concept, but, you know, I think for me, I think the fit for you personally is really the first thing that you want to look for.
Fit is so important, especially when we talk about just day to day in an entrepreneur's journey building a business. What advice do you give to the entrepreneurs that you work with, just kind of collecting their thoughts and getting them on track to building a business model that serves them?
It's actually exactly that we start with. And even the ones who have been in business for a while, oftentimes the reason they think they have a marketing problem, but really what they've got is an alignment problem. And we go back right to the very beginning and we make sure that the business they're running is actually aligned with who they are, what they want, what they need from their business. And we ask those questions. A lot of people really want to jump into what marketing strategy, what sales strategy, like how do I find more clients? And I'm like, just stop for a second, because you might be trying to find clients for a business that you actually really hate or is like, is not aligned with your energy and who you are as an individual and what you want from your business. So we go all the way back to that, and we have to prove that first, and we have to figure out what that sort of passion pillar is. And then we build from there, because if you're trying to build a business that serves, a client that you don't really like to serve, that's a recipe for probably not a lot of success. So we build an aligned business model, and I have a whole framework for doing this. And we build from the very, very heart of the business out. And each of these things sort of builds upon each other. So we need to know who you are as an individual, what you want from the business, what your values are. And then we need to know who you want to work with and if they're aligned. And then we want to know, what do we want to do for them? And whether that's aligned with the customer. So it's all like kind of stacks on top of each other. I think a lot of people, they try to build a business based on what they've heard. And, to be honest, a lot of business owners are actually not business people, right? They don't have the background in business, and they don't have the experience by their own admission, right? And so they're really trying to borrow strategies from other people or other sort of proven frameworks. But what I can tell you is that often doesn't really work, because you're a unique individual with unique experiences and unique needs and unique wants. And you've got to build around that. And a lot of business books and business courses teach you to start with identifying who your customer is first and working out from there. But my argument is that that's not necessarily true. For me, that would result in building a business that I didn't like. So my passion pillar is the way that I want to do my work. Whereas somebody might have a passion pillar that is this particular customer they want to, and then it works, right? Then that traditional model works. But you also might have a passion pillar around the experience or the skills that you want to build. So we figure that out first, and I have a little framework for doing that. And then everything, that's a huge truth teller for a business owner. And when they finally realize what they're really driven by, then they make huge shifts to their business model.
I love that. I love that you used the word passion, because I think for most entrepreneurs, when you're getting into business, it does come from that place of wanting to fulfill a passion and to fulfill a need that people have. Tell us more about this framework. I think it's called assets model, right? That's the framework that you use, assets building?
Those are two separate things. The business model design framework is called the growth and profit business model design framework. That is really about getting alignment inside your business model, regardless of what you're going to do with it in the long term. The assets business model is all about, once you know what you're going to build, then we want to focus on building things that have value inside the business and have value inside the business that grows. So one day you might want to sell those assets. One day you might want to sell the entire business. And so the shift in focus from, we always want to make money and we always want income in the business, but when we're constantly chasing that, that's exhausting. Instead, we want to balance that out with identifying what kind of assets you can build inside the business or that you have inside the business already, and focus on putting resources towards building out those, because those are the things that are going to make the business more valuable in the long term.
Absolutely. You've worked with large corporations and also small businesses. What do you feel like has been the main difference between the two when you're helping entrepreneurs kind of build this model?
Yeah, I still do a lot of corporate consulting, mostly in the tech sector and organizational design, that sort of thing. I would say the huge difference is the meaning and the alignment to the person. So when you work inside of big corporations, you know, by nature, and this is not to vilify big corporations at all, but by nature of the fact, as an organization grows and grows and grows, they need to prioritize organizational level things, right? And so impact and all of that stuff sort of starts to get rolled up underneath, well, what's efficient and profitable for the business? And then you get farther and farther away from the work that you're actually trying to do to help whoever you're helping. Whereas when you work with small business owners, like, you see the impact right away, and there's a lot of heart inside that business, and it's very much emotionally driven and feeling driven. And these business owners can finally go back to work that is designed in the way that they feel it should be designed. And, you know, corporate has its place, right? It has its role, but it's much more there. It's much more about sort of checking off boxes and doing things that have a narrative, as opposed to doing things that, you know, impact somebody significantly. So that difference is certainly, you know, probably the most significant for me. But I enjoy the work I do in the corporate level. But, you know, it's nothing like how it feels to work with a business owner who deploys a strategy tomorrow and starts to see the results.
Yeah, absolutely. And I bet you just relate more too with the small business owner, you know, coming from that place of passion and seeing them living out that passion. What advice would you give to a small business owner who maybe isn't thinking about their exit strategy, or they haven't really thought about the long-term impacts of starting the business and where it's going to lead to?
I would say it's never too early to start thinking about that, because it changes all of the investments that you make in your business, and it changes, you know, the way that you look at your business. Rather than looking at it as an income vehicle, you start looking at it as a, like, almost a thing, like an entity that you are building value in, that you are creating, that is going to be valuable to somebody at some point in time. So I would say don't hesitate to get started now. But, you know, depending on where you are in your growth, even from the very, very beginning, like, I'm just going to start up something brand new right today, there are still things that you can do at that point in time to keep defining and working towards what that longer term strategy is. And you don't necessarily start thinking about exits then, but you can start thinking about what, like, is this going to be a legacy business? Is this something that I want to hand off to my kids? Is this something that I would love to package up and sell? Is this something that, you know, I would like to keep churning out things that I can continually sell? Like, those are all totally viable. Understanding that right from the beginning and understanding the concepts of assets inside your business means that you can be very efficient with what you're building and what you're creating, so that you're not wasting a lot of time on things that are not going to serve you in the long run.
What qualifies as an asset? I'm curious.
There are 9 different types of assets you can have inside your business. I'll give you the link to a little PDF that you can download if you want to check them out. And I'm going to see if I can remember all of them while we're sitting here. It's past my end of day brain, so we'll see. But, you know, the obvious ones would be things like products that you've created, which doesn't mean that you can only have an asset-based business if you have a product-based company. That's not true at all. But a product is an asset. A productized service is an asset. Anything that you can kind of wrap up and put inside a container and say, like, yes, it's a service, but I can repeat this and I can put it inside of a framework that is repeatable and that could be packaged up and sold or trained other people on it. You know, intellectual property inside your business. So a lot of people have created these sort of frameworks for courses that they teach or for the way that they go about doing their work with. That's all IP that can be turned into something licensable. So, you know, a lot of people create like certification programs for professionals in their field, even if they've been serving sort of the end user. Or I could have creative assets inside my business, stuff that I've created for marketing purposes, but actually would have value to someone else, even internally, processes, or, you know, a lot of people would create like SOPs and things inside their business that would actually be valuable to somebody who was running a business like theirs. They can package that up and sell it. Investments that you've made on behalf of the business, or like, let's say you have shares in another company or something like that. Those are all assets, trademarks, brand, your brand is an asset. Even like events can be an asset. Like there's people who create these events and they become brands. You can sell that to somebody and you package it all up. So there's lots of lists of different types of assets you can build inside your business. And it's all with the question of, would somebody buy this? Would somebody buy this on its own? Would somebody buy this as part of a deal structure with when you exit your business? So your audience is free to download that PDF and they can get some inspiration. Hopefully there's some little like case studies inside there for each of the asset types so that you can get a better sense of what that looks like kind of in the wild.
Yeah, that sounds like such a great resource. And it goes along with what you were saying about acquisition also and how you can acquire just different aspects of a business and not necessarily the whole thing. So that's really, really cool, especially for entrepreneurs who maybe they don't want to sell their entire business, but just want to sell different parts of it.
Yep, that's totally a strategy.
So what does that look like if somebody were to sell just a part of their business? So would they're still in charge of everything else about the business, but just not the part that they sell? Or are they still in charge of the part that they sell? What does that look like?
It totally depends on the deal. So I bought the assets of a business. I did not buy the entity. So that means I purchased. So my purchase agreement was about buying the list, the content, the website, the brand. But she held on to the entity itself because there was other stuff she was doing inside that entity. So we just defined what that meant, what the asset sale meant and what it included. And that's what I took. And so now it's mine and I get to brand it and I get to work on it however I see fit. But the rest of what she had underneath that entity was just remained with hers.
Gotcha. So you don't have to ask her anything about the brand. You just get sole ownership over it. Now it's just yours.
Yep. Yep. That's my business.
That is so, so cool. Awesome. So some final advice for entrepreneurs. If you could give one piece of advice to entrepreneurs about preparing for just maybe some of the misconceptions that you see when it comes to exit planning, what would you say they should avoid?
Avoid being caught in very rigid structures. There are a lot of people shy away from the idea of exiting because it's typically like a bro thing, right? Where they're talking about getting money and maximizing, blah, blah, blah. Like, you get to choose your exit and you get to define what that looks like for you. And don't be afraid to be creative in what you want, how you want to exit your business. And there's lots of different options for you in that regard. So just avoid getting pulled into what everyone else has done and realize that you can set up the terms to suit yourself.
I love that. Stephanie, where can people go to learn more about you and your business and these resources that you've mentioned?
You can find me at stephaniehayes.biz. That's my website. I also hang out on LinkedIn quite a bit, but those are probably the best places to find me.
Wonderful. And are you still doing business coaching as well? You're taking new clients?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I have one final question for you, and this is something that I ask all of my guests, and it's a fill-in-the-blank question. So it is, you have to blank to blank.
I would say you have to be willing to change your beliefs in order to grow.
I love that. That is so, so awesome. Well, Stephanie, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio today. Thank you so, so much. And I just can't wait for everybody to hear about this because I think, once again, exit strategies are something that a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they don't think about these things. And so it's just great to have this insight. And I look forward to sharing these resources with everyone. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Abby.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away feeling inspired to look at the assets you have already created within your current business model. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button or share this episode with a friend. As Stephanie said, you have to be willing to change your beliefs in order to grow. We'll see you next time.